This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you so much for being here again. Welcome back to Hannah Worldwide and Friends, the podcast where traveler, experts, and adventurer share their stories. If you want to learn about what it's like living in another country, you want to experience a new culture, or you just love to travel, this podcast is for you. Or maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone, and this podcast might be the inspiration you need. You can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi everyone, please welcome with me Teresa Helbano from New Zealand. Teresa had a great abroad experience through Opus Dei. She will tell us a little bit more about that later on, and was living in Rome for 3 years. Hi, Teresa. I'm so grateful that you made it to my home studio today.
Yeah, thank you. It's beautiful here. People can't see it, but it's very nice, your little setup.
I'm glad you like it, and I'm glad that you made some time for me today.
No worries, of course.
So you had your own time living abroad,
yes,
in Rome, which is amazing. Yes. I think a lot of people dream about living in Rome.
Yeah, that's true. It sounds very exotic when you put it like that.
Absolutely. Especially, I mean, I'm from Europe and yes, Rome is a little bit closer, but for people in New Zealand, it's still far away.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally on the other side of the world. Exactly. I think they say Italy and New Zealand are the polar opposite or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's quite a long journey.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's really interesting how you actually got over there. Mm. Do you mind telling us a little bit about first maybe what is Opus Dei?
Yeah.
And then how that opened
how
the
I
door
got there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To go abroad.
Yes. Yeah, no worries. So basically Opus Dei is a Catholic institution. Where the idea is, it's sort of helping people discover God in their everyday lives. So, I mean, for Catholics, yes, but also non-Catholics, non-Christians, the idea that you can be holy in whatever you're doing. So in your job, I don't know, as a student, as a mom, as a, I don't know, road worker, like anything, as long as you kind of really strive to do it like well, to serve the people around you. It's sort of that holiness is accessible. That's the idea behind it. So, yeah, so I'm in Opus Dei. So I guess that's kind of my mission in life, to help people, discover God in their everyday, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to only be in, like, he's not confined to the church, you know, kind of thing, that you can, walk down your, you know, beautiful backyard, farmland or whatever, and then he can be found there. So that's Opus Dei in a nutshell. But for me specifically, I guess there's a lot of like talks and formation that we try to provide to people, obviously with Catholic doctrine. I guess explanations about teaching to the church. But for that, you also need quite a bit of input because it takes a bit of study also to teach anything.
Yeah.
You need some formation, like education, and so the Rome opportunity came up. I've known other people of Opus Dei who've gone to Rome to study like Catholic doctrine and the church teachings a bit further. So it's actually a bachelor's in theology that you can do. Not everyone does it. I mean, just a handful, really. Like, it's not everyone in Opus Dei does it, but so the opportunity came up for me to go to Rome for a three-year degree. I said yes. It sounded amazing. I think more than anything, I was thinking more about the Rome part than the study. I mean, the study part was also interesting because I said, look, if this is going to help me explain better to people about my faith and why I live it, and I don't know, just to explain, because sometimes you're stuck for words, you know, even to explain, I guess, mysteries of what you believe.
Yeah.
Um, But no, yeah, so that opportunity came up, and I took it, basically. This was back in 2017.
Yeah.
So I was there for, yeah, a good 3 years. Yeah, studying in Rome, which sounds very like, whoa.
Amazing. Yeah, it sounds crazy.
So I guess it was kind of everything I expected, but a lot, of course, there's a lot that you don't expect. I mean, you can't really foresee every aspect of living in a different place, a different language, really different people.
Yeah.
I mean, I had talked to a few people who had been there before, but also times change, you know, like even,
absolutely,
I suppose, just the environment is very different.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How can I picture you living there? Like,
yeah,
where would be the place? Was it like a community center?
Yeah.
Was it like, what type of place were you able to live in?
Was
How
I
did
living?
They take
yeah.
care of you?
Ah, yes.
Or did they take care
yeah.
of you?
No, yes. So there is a like international students center,
right,
in Rome, obviously run by, so the there's people from all over the world of Opus Dei who go to the same place to study. So we all study together. And it's connected to there's a lot of universities in Rome. They're called pontifical universities, so they're like connected to the Vatican. There's
right.
heaps. There's like an American college one. There's one run by like, I don't know, the Jesuits. There's one run by, so heaps.
Yeah, interesting.
So there's, anyway, one uni that we all go to. And then there's a student residence, like international student residence, kind of connected to that, where
yeah.
we all stayed. So yes, they took care of us very well, because it's quite, I suppose the nice thing is that everyone was from a different country. Like, none of us were from Italy, so we were all
yeah.
international students.
Yeah.
So in that way, we had a lot in common, because
yeah.
just because it was new, everything was new.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we were all from very different places, so it was a lot of adjusting to each other, as well as a new country.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I think that part I didn't consider, I guess, that everyone else would also be very, very different, I guess.
Yeah, that we had that really, really interesting conversation
yes.
before, which I really want to highlight here too.
Yeah.
It was the sentence that you said, and I really recall it so vividly. It was that you said that it was one thing to discover
yeah.
new people and see different cultural aspects.
Yes.
But then also trying to find out what is actually the different culture and what are different personalities.
Yes, yes.
How did you explore that?
So I think, yeah, so like you said, I met people from many different countries. So I guess it took me a while to distinguish what things came from people's cultures, like you said, and what came from different personalities. Which I think until obviously I moved there, I didn't consider those things could be different. I don't
yeah.
know if I explain it. Like, for example, obviously in New Zealand, come from New Zealand, we're very multicultural, right?
Yeah.
We have, I mean, look, you're from Germany. I've got Filipino background, but I grew up here. I mean,
yeah.
you've got friends from, right, so many different countries. But I guess we're all in New Zealand, so there's a kind of common ground.
Yeah.
Even though you think, oh, we're so tolerant and we're so multicultural, there's something that we have shared.
Yeah.
And I think going over to Rome made me realize that, I guess, within a culture, yeah, like a lot of things come from your culture, but a lot of things that you do and how you react also just come from the person that you are.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a cycle, because I guess also your personality can also be influenced by your culture.
Absolutely.
And then some things are just kind of more innate. Your temperament, like if you're quieter or louder.
Yeah.
So I guess it was just more, it broadened my idea in a way of like each individual person, what makes them up, like what makes them very unique. Is a whole range of things. It's not just where they come from.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember a specific moment or situation
where that clicked?
Yeah,
actually a couple. It was kind of it was usually in terms of language, right? So actually I know I lived in Rome, but I actually didn't learn Italian which is, anyway, it sounds a bit funny, but the center I was living in, the common language, the language of the majority of people was Spanish.
Yeah.
Because we had a lot of Spaniards and a lot of South Americans. So that was the, anyway, the kind of the language of every day that we used.
Yeah.
So I learned Spanish to survive.
Which is amazing. Which is, but
yeah, that was
funny.
Another challenge and a half. So we're all trying to learn Spanish, but there was a good handful of English speakers. So there was me, there was another Kiwi girl, there was a few Americans, there were people from like Kenya, Nigeria, the UK. So a good handful of English speakers. So of course, in the beginning, you try to learn the Spanish, but you band together with people who speak your language because it's more comfortable. Anyway, just for that also break from trying to live in a different language where you can't express yourself. That was really hard. So we obviously had moments where we band together with English speakers. But I think sometimes what struck me is that we didn't understand each other speaking English. Just little phrases that you'd use that, you know, someone else might be like, what do you mean? And I was like, is that not normal English? I thought we were on the same page. So one that struck me was, so in New Zealand we say a lot, I'm keen, right? Like,
yes.
I'd like to do it or whatever.
Yes.
Hey, do you want to come, whatever, with me? Yeah, I'm keen. So I said that to, I think it was one of the girls from the States. I said, okay, I'm keen. And she looked, there was this pause.
Yeah.
And she looks at me and she's like, you're what? And I was like, is it my accent? I was like, keen. And she's like, what do you mean? So it really, it got me. I was like, oh, but that's English. Anyway.
You should totally know what I mean.
You're supposed to understand what what I say. The other very funny moment actually was when we were watching a movie. So we would watch the movies in Spanish so everyone could understand. We would watch whatever movies all together. I think the consensus was we'd watch it in the original language and then we put Spanish subtitles.
Right.
So that, anyway, that was the common way we structured it. So sometimes it's a Spanish movie with Spanish subtitles. Sometimes it's an English movie, which was great for us, with Spanish subtitles. Anyway, there was one day, I don't know what we were watching, but for some reason, it was in Italian, maybe, with Spanish subtitles. So some people were like, oh, this is too much to follow. So we thought, the English speakers thought, let's watch an English movie. And the other Kiwi girl with me said, let's watch Hunt for the Wilder People. That was really, anyway, really hilarious. You know, the Kiwi movie, obviously, of, have you seen it?
Hunt for the Wilder
People. Oh my gosh, this is a necessary Kiwi formation.
I have to do some catching up.
That's your homework for after this. We can watch it. But anyway, because of course it's a Kiwi film, right? So a lot of New Zealand humor. And our humor is super, as you probably gather.
Now
like
I know.
Very, very sarcastic, kind of black, kind of. Anyway, but of course, me and the other Kiwi girl found it hilarious. We're laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And then some of the other English speakers got the humor, and some didn't, just depending on where. And it was funny. So we were only English speakers in the room because we were the ones who left the other movie to watch this one. So we were laughing. And I remember one of the Nigerians was like, I actually can't understand the English, like the accent. So she went back to the Italian movie. And I was like, I felt not quite offended, but also another one of those moments of like, we're supposed to be to understand the same thing. But we have the same language, but there's something that we didn't understand.
It's so interesting, especially
really
now since I live here for such a long time. I remember when I first came, I learned British English at school. I traveled the US. And then coming to New Zealand, there were so many little things that I've never heard about.
Yes.
Now, I can't even remember anymore because
now it's normal, like natural.
Yeah, now it's second nature.
Yes.
As you say, with like, I'm keen, things like that.
Yes, those phrases.
Now, I wouldn't even know, if I would go to the US, I would think it's English, so you should totally know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm spending 6 years in a country where it's Kiwi slang.
It's Kiwi English, yep.
Going to another place, I would also assume that's English.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's moments, obviously, you don't expect because, you don't realize that what's, I guess, normal for you is not for someone else. I think that's the, I was going to say confronting part. It's not confronting like in a bad way, but just that moment of, realization, like, my experiences are not the same as someone else's.
Yeah.
And that's shaped me somehow, you know. So it was kind of that realization of, things come from your culture or things come from your personality. And I think what I meant also when we were talking about that before was I started to discover, firstly, about myself.
Yeah.
Like to say, oh, this, the way that I look at things, does that come from my, coming from New Zealand, an Anglo-Saxon kind of background?
Yeah.
Does that come from my personality that's a bit more laid back anyway, like a bit more introverted? Or does that come from, I don't know, my upbringing as like my migrant parents in an English-speaking country? You know, so it was sort of to, when you see the difference between you and people who you think are similar, but actually there's difference, that you start to, I guess, kind of pinpoint where things come from.
Yeah.
And it was just more fascinating to say, there's more, I don't know, there's more to it than you realize.
Yeah.
But you need to see it differently in someone else.
Yeah.
To realize that about yourself.
Yes. Kind
of. Yeah.
Have you had some aha moments where you were like, that's actually me as that person, like personality wise, that's where it comes from? Or like where you really noticed it and you were really aware of that this is cultural, this is personality?
I mean, I guess, well, like just before, a lot of the language things are cultural. So like we were saying, the phrases, the keen, the accent even. But then, I don't know, it gets a bit mixed because I'm very like phlegmatic, so very calm. I don't react to much. So I think in general, Kiwis are like that a lot.
Yeah.
So say that contrasted a lot. So the cultural difference was a lot between the English speakers and the non-English speakers. So say your South Americans are much more expressive, right?
Yeah.
So we're all trying to speak Spanish, but they've got, it just comes to mind now. Sometimes we'd try to be singing songs, right? And I had to ask one of the English speakers to translate. And in Spanish, the songs are much more, like even in English, we have songs that talk about love and you know, whatever. But somehow in Spanish, it sounded fine. But when you translate it to English, it just sounded cheesy. Like they're kind of very obvious I don't know. It just, so it's in the language, but then it kind of flows into their culture, right? That they're so effusive in their affection.
Yeah.
But in English, I was like, we talk about love a lot, but we're a bit more subtle, right? I'm thinking like,
the bush.
Yeah.
Around the bush.
Yeah. I'm thinking like, an Ed Sheeran song talks about love, but it's a bit more like story-like. It doesn't quite say, I love you, you know, but it's like, I will remember you for, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So English is more subtle.
That's
they're trying to say the same thing, but it just comes out in a different manner.
And they are just right.
So I was like, that's definitely cultural. But I think maybe because my personality is also like that, it's subtle. It kind of, I don't know, I thrive more in a Kiwi culture because it's a bit more suited to my personality.
Yes.
Whereas, if I had to go to a Spanish-speaking country, maybe it'd be harder to express myself as well because the culture is different to how I express myself personally. I don't know if that really answers the question, but kind of.
Yeah. Were you able to adapt well to all the other parts since you had mainly the Spanish community and the Spanish language? Or were there other things where you could see the cultural differences clearly and where you maybe even struggled to adapt to it?
I don't think I struggled as much as I thought I would. I really enjoyed learning the Spanish, which I think helped. So I think if I had a resistance there, it would have been harder to adjust to the culture also. Yeah. I think the challenges were, just sometimes realizing how to interpret what someone else is saying when they come from a different culture.
Yeah.
So again, they say they're, the Spaniards tended to be the same, more effusive. They had a kind of stronger way of talking.
Yeah.
So I guess from a Kiwi point of view, it was like, oh, they're angry at me kind of thing. But they weren't. But you had to kind of learn that. They're like, oh, it's not a personal attack, you know.
Yeah.
They're not trying to tell you off. They're actually just explaining. But the words they used or the tone. So you had to kind of interpret it as it was meant, you know.
Yeah.
But for that, you needed to understand where they were coming from. They're like, oh, okay, that's just how they talk. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just you haven't come across that very much because in New Zealand we're so,
Yeah.
And it would work the other way around, because sometimes they'd be like, just tell me what you think. And I'm like, yeah. I thought I was, but I was doing it in a much more roundabout way. You know, subtle.
And not too offensive, not like direct and trying to sugarcoat it a little bit for the person.
Actually, one example comes to mind that I was, anyway, we were going out somewhere. Someone was going shopping and I was going to go with her. And then I sent her a message to be like, oh, apparently you're going out today. If it's okay, can I come with you or something like that? And she was just laughing. She's like, why? Apparently, like, yes, I'm going. She just said it. So I was just trying to, you know, start the, I don't know,
be
the text
nice and
instead
not
of being
too,
like, are you going? Can I come?
Yeah, yeah.
Just because I wouldn't do it like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, so, like, kind of, I heard.
Yeah. Oh,
so fine. If it's a ride, she's like, of course you could come. Just ask.
Yeah. Know? Just tell me what
so
you
it
want.
It's just really funny. So I had to learn to be more assertive than I mean, I didn't become as blunt, I think, as they are. I mean, as some people were.
Yeah.
But it's true. You did have to learn to adjust in that way also.
Yeah.
And it worked the other way around, because they also had to realize, okay, it's not that you're scared of them, you just, I don't know, use more words to get to the same to the same conclusion, maybe.
You're just less direct, and that's okay. It's nice to, did you feel like you met in the middle somewhere, you got more assertive and they might have slowed down a little bit?
I think so, because so I was there for a good 3 years. We were all there for 3 years, so I think, I mean, at different rates, right?
Yeah.
But I think towards that, there was that understanding of everyone has, where they come from and their roots. And just that exposure to a large variety of people helped everyone. It's funny, because it's not that we all became the same after 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But we did learn to adjust to each other.
Yeah.
I guess it was that sense of also helping each other feel comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
And you got more familiar with each other. So it also became easier to do. Because maybe in the first year, you had to think about it a bit more and like, oh, okay, this one is like this or whatever. But at the end of 3 years, I don't know, you're already just very good friends.
Yeah.
So you adjust, but also at the same time, you can really be yourself and they know how to take it and you know how to take their way of talking.
Yeah.
Without that initial, like, am I offending her? Is my message coming across?
Yeah, way more comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, for my understanding, a question from more of the beginning, you said as well, Opus Dei, can you also study or go to Rome through Opus Dei without being part of Opus Dei? Or is it like a...
Yep, the uni we went to is like a, like anyone can go to that uni. So you could go, you could study in the same place.
But it's not that you would be able to say, hey, can I... go like as a normal Kiwi being part of Opus Dei, you
could
wouldn't
you
be like, hey, Opus Dei, can I take part of studying
here
in Rome through you? That wouldn't really work, right?
Yeah, I guess the setup would be different. Like, you wouldn't stay in the same center.
Yeah.
But you could go to the same uni that we went to.
Yeah. But it wouldn't be organized by them then.
No, not exactly. Yeah. So I guess the route that I went through was for people who
because you're part of it.
Yes.
It makes total sense. I just wanted, because I felt like from the beginning, I had that in the back of my mind. Is it also possible for people who are not part of it?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But the actual study part, the actual uni, anyone can go to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I'm also curious about, because... as we now know, you went from New Zealand to Rome, and there's not much immersion into actually the Italian culture at all. But which parts have you actually still connected to Italy as a country, to Rome as a city, and to Italian as a language and the people? Have you had any contact with that?
For sure. Because I guess also Rome is a very special city for Christianity, right? For Catholics. Because, of course, the Pope is there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the history of the church is there.
Yeah.
So we would definitely go, I guess, in a way, the more, I was going to say touristic, but the holy sites we would go to a lot. So obviously St. Peter's Basilica, which is mind-blowing in itself. It's massive.
Yeah.
We would go to a lot of the basilicas. But even the things of ancient Rome, we would go see like the Colosseum, now I'm imagining the forums. When I was there, I don't know if it still exists, but for residents,
yeah,
every fourth Sunday was free museums.
Oh,
which was, so we capitalized on this opportunity. So every month, you could go to a different museum, and there's there's a lot in Rome, from like tiny little ones to the Vatican museums to things like the Colosseum and
a lot of history.
So we definitely did a lot of that, and I think that enriched your study a lot, because obviously, say if we were studying like church history, and then we could go to the place where like physically
happened.
This person died, or this Pope is buried here, and you can go to see the church, or so we definitely connected a lot with the history of the place, because it went very well with what we were studying, but also Rome itself is has a lot of that, and I think that struck me a lot, because in New Zealand we have nothing that old at all. Like nothing older than 200 years or something. And there you're talking ancient Rome, like BC. So like it's, you just can't even fathom 2000 plus years of this thing that's been standing there. So that was that was incredible. I guess that's as much. The Italian itself, we would get words here and there, so other people would try to learn Italian also, but it was more like if you went to the shop to try and buy something, so you learn different, like prego, you learn like random little phrases. And funnily enough, the Spanish helped a lot, because, you know, the root is the same.
Very similar, yeah.
So somehow I could pick up little phrases. Once my Spanish was better, my Italian kind of also came a little bit. So I guess in that connection, we did a lot of the history. Kept us,
Have you made any Italian friends in that time?
I met a couple. We would do this, actually that was quite nice. We would try to do a language exchange thing, because people are dying to learn English.
Yes.
So the English speakers were highly sought after. We did a couple of language exchange programs. It tried to be conversational. But I felt bad for the Italian girl that I was friends with. We're still in contact, actually. It's nice. But her English was fairly good. So we could actually talk. And my Italian was pitiful. But she tried to teach me words. She taught me how to count. Hello, goodbye, thank you. Very basic, but not enough to really converse. So we only really talked in English, which I don't think they minded, because they really wanted to talk a native English speaker. Everyone was like,
nice.
So not heaps, but we met. We did meet some Italians.
Are you still in touch?
With a couple of them, which is nice. They're still there in Italy, so I'd have to go over there, or they have to come here and visit.
That's great.
Yeah,
a great part of going abroad, making new friends as well, and then staying in touch, to be able to still exchange ideas and practice English or Italian or whatever.
Exactly.
I love that part. Like, I love having friends all over the
world. Yeah, it's quite cool.
Yeah. Have you come across something where you thought the Italian culture, the Spanish culture, and the Kiwi culture have in common?
Oh, I haven't thought about that one. That makes it sound like we're complete polar opposites. What do we have in common? I guess it was also interesting, because at the root of all the differences, everyone is striving for the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, and I guess that's where you see, like, there's the common humanity, no matter where you come from.
Yeah.
That everyone wants... like as hard as it was sometimes, but everyone wanted to be good friends, you know, or everyone wanted to, help each other through, I don't know, through the study, or help each other adjust. So I think one thing, obviously living in the center, in this international center altogether, our commonality was our Catholic faith.
Yeah.
So that definitely, I guess, united us and grounded us. But at the same time, there was also a lot of difference in how people practiced it, which to me also was like really eye-opening. So that was cool. But but I guess apart from the faith, you could see that you kind of all desire the same thing, really, even though maybe you have to peel back some layers to say you have to get past the really extroverted, you know, kind of people, get through the really quiet ones, but to realize that everyone wants to be happy. Everyone wants to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone wants to feel like they belong, you know, and they're with people.
Yeah.
So there's like common human desires, I think.
Yeah.
Regardless of culture.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah, you have to see the difference to see the similarity. Yeah. It's all very like, there's so many layers.
Yeah, I can totally understand because if I'm now thinking about here in New Zealand, all the different cultures coming together, I think I'm also able to be friends with so many people from different countries because of same human desires, wanting to belong, wanting to make friends, wanting to help out each other.
Yes, definitely.
That's a very good point.
And I think it just shows in different ways. Or of course, the approach maybe is different or whatever. Yeah. But deep down, it's the same. It's the same longing for, to be loved, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And people always want to give somehow.
True.
Yeah, regardless. Yeah. Regardless of culture or personality.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Is there any struggle you had through the 3 years? Because right now, everything sounds pretty good. Like,
true. It wasn't all rosy.
What was your biggest point of where you said, okay, that was a part where I struggled quite a bit?
Yes. I think it goes hand in hand with the discovering who you are. I think it was the part of, so how I was saying, I was sort of pinpointing, okay, this, I'm like this because of my culture. Like, I grew up in New Zealand. I'm like this because I'm that, like, the phlegmatic kind of nature that's calm or whatever. But I think sometimes the struggle was actually accepting that that was a very good thing, because you could also compare to other people and be like, oh, I'm the quiet one. Everyone loves the people who are talking all the time, you know?
Yeah.
They're the ones with all the friends or whatever. And I don't have much to contribute because, A, I don't speak Spanish very well, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But also I don't talk very much naturally, blah, blah. So I think it was also accepting that no matter how you were anyway, all of it is good, because all of that gives enriches other people as well, you know.
Yes.
So I think sometimes actually the self-acceptance is a struggle, especially when you see so much difference and you're like, oh, maybe their way is better.
Yeah, and you think like, I want to be more like this.
Yeah. So I remember one time, not quite complaining, I was having this kind of conversation with a friend and saying something like, maybe because, I don't know, everyone else was, tended to be more, excitable, or they got just so enthused really quickly. And I was like, I mean, I get excited, but I'm not one who, like, I don't know, jumps around and screams on the top of my lung to be like, wow, this is so amazing. I take a much calmer approach, right? So people can't always tell that I enjoy something. And I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe I need to be more effusive, like the ones who express a lot more. And someone told me, this was actually really helpful. It took me a while to accept it also. But she was like, no, look, sometimes, like, there's a lot of fires. She's like, it's not bad to be the water that just calms everyone down. And I was like, but that's like a wet blanket. I was like, no, it's not. She was like, you don't need to add to the fire, because the fires can be good, right? Like a spark or, you know, enthusiasm. But she's like, but fire can also just be drama, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, you don't need to add to the fire. You can, you know, like, be the kind of.
That's such a nice metaphor. It was
like, so that really helped once I pondered this a little bit. But to be like, your way of being is also very good.
Yeah.
You know? And everyone's is, you know. So everyone has their points that they contribute, and everyone has points also they need to grow in. Because I also had to learn, I guess, to talk more sometimes. I couldn't be silent the whole time, you know, kind of thing. So I had to get out of myself a little bit and learn to talk in different situations. But neither do you have to change who you are, you know.
Yes.
In order to be, accepted, kind of.
It really highlights how important it is that we have different humans, different personalities.
Definitely.
And when we come together, we don't want to be all the same.
Exactly.
Reacting the same, being the same, doing the same. But if you are different and you realize that the other come across really likable.
Yes.
And you maybe even admire them for something. Yeah. It's so hard to not be like, I want to change into that. I want to be more like that.
Yes.
If you want to be a certain way, then of course work on yourself and you can be more assertive and you can become more confident if you think you're not confident enough or whatever. But it is so important, as you said, to accept that it's good that you are different sometimes. Yes. We don't want to be the same.
Yeah.
And everyone, as you said, contributes in their own way.
Yes.
I think that's a very nice learning opportunity and a lesson. Yeah. Also for me, I can look around, see amazing people and think, oh my God, I wish I would be a little bit more like that. But then someone else might come and say, oh, I wish I would be more like you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then it's like, No. We all are good the way we are.
Yes.
It's,
I guess, accepting that uniqueness that each person brings. Yeah. And the more self-accepting you are, the more you also accept other people. Because it can also work the other way, that you compare and be like, I'm so glad I'm not like her, that she, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be anything, right?
Yes.
She talks too much, or she doesn't talk at all, or she,
Yeah.
We can also compare in the negative, but to say, everyone is unique in a good way.
100% agree. Yeah. That is such a beautiful end of that topic.
Yeah. That took some time to realize that, like, oh, I'm actually learning this about myself too.
Yeah. And it's such a common struggle of people as well. And usually we think about homesickness or whatever struggles when you live abroad, which is really common. And we all go through it.
Yes, but definitely.
Having that struggle of comparing, like, personalities and all of that is such an important part. So thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome. This is not scripted, I promise.
Yeah, which is even better. I end every episode with my final quick 3 questions.
Okay.
Which is like one word, one sentence answers to keep it kind of sweet and short.
Yep.
So first question for you.
Yes. Okay, I'm ready.
During that time in Rome, what did you miss the most from New Zealand?
Oh, a quick answer? What did I miss the most? I have to cast my mind back to that time. No, I can't think. From New Zealand specifically. I don't know why if the food comes to mind, but it's not that we have anything, so.
Oh, that's true. It's not. I mean, if it's food, then that's fine, because.
I just remember, like, my sister sending over once. It was like, somehow she managed to bring LMP.
Oh.
Like a can. I was like, I don't know how you brought that on the plane or how that didn't explode or the liquid thing. It was kind of like, but maybe it wasn't the food as such, but when people would send stuff from home, it was that kind of tangibility of something from where you're from.
Yeah.
So yeah, having like a little thing of LMP, I was like, oh, I mean, I like LMP, but it's not like it's the most amazing, number one drink ever.
Yeah.
But I think it was that sense of, yeah, that sense
just
of home.
Just something from home. Yeah.
So I didn't miss it in the sense I was really pining after it. But when it came, I was like, oh, I haven't seen this in a long time.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sweet.
Even, this is, I had already come back to New Zealand, but I came back in the middle of 2020.
Yeah.
So COVID, which was another story and a half to get back. But I had to do my 2 weeks of quarantine.
Yeah.
But I just remember one of the first days, one of the foods that they brought. So breakfast, it was just like, one of those little packets of, it was probably like cornflakes or something, and then like Meadow Fresh milk.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, I don't know, just the brands that you're familiar with.
Yeah.
It's all in English. I was like, oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I just really enjoyed it. But someone was like, it was just cereal. Like, yeah, but
it's home.
But it's from here. I don't know. Yeah. So I think you kind of miss those things that are very, they're kind of a bit nostalgic, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Like the everyday stuff.
It was things that are very ordinary.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
I miss the cornflakes. I mean, it's so random.
Weet-Bix.
Yeah.
Do you have, question number 2.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you have any food place or activity that you would recommend people to either go visit or do in Rome?
In Rome? Ooh, Well, there's pizza, pasta, and gelato, basically. but there were a couple of gelato places that were like, this is my little ad for them, that were really, really good. One is called, so whenever people would come visit, I would take them there because, also gelato is much easier than, I don't know, sitting down and trying to find a restaurant with the pasta, or whatever. So one gelato place near where I live on the corner was called La Romana, which was sort of just a well-known brand. And then there was another, I think they probably had a few branches, you know, whatever, in the whole city. And then there was another tiny little gelato place that looks like down some Dodge Street, but it was really good, near the Vatican Museum. So it was kind of along the wall. It's called Old Bridge. I was like, it's a very English name.
Yeah.
Old Bridge. Like, anyway, just the gelato is really good.
Nice. Thank you. I would love, I hope I make it to Rome again. I went once.
Yeah.
I would love to have some more gelato.
Yes. Thank you. Definitely is a highlight.
Must do.
A must. Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Okay, last but not least.
Yes.
What advice would you give anyone who would consider going to Rome to study?
Yeah.
Especially, I think, for people who are able to go through Opus Dei.
Mm. What advice? It sounds like a cop-out to be like, well, everyone learns different things. but I think the sense of... like, be open to learning what you don't expect.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, not that we overplan, but of course you want to go with a bit of preparation, like, how am I going to handle, I don't know, this challenge.
Yeah.
But I think it's also, that openness to saying some things will be harder than I can imagine, you know, or like I didn't even consider.
Yeah.
And some things will actually be easier, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess it's like not to be afraid of those challenges as they come up. I remember being surprised because I thought the hardest barrier was going to be the language.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to learn to express myself in another language? And then talking to, there was one girl in my year from Colombia. So I was like, well, she won't have a problem. She's speaking Spanish. She actually went home earlier because there were, I suppose, different things that she had to adjust to that were, there were big challenges that were quite difficult. So she didn't actually finish the 3 years. She went home after, can't remember, 1 year or two. But initially I would have been like, but you're going to speak Spanish already. Like, what challenge can you have, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's that, like, to be like open in the sense of don't be afraid of the challenge.
Yeah.
Because then you can also learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
It's not a very concrete advice, but kind of like don't worry too much. Like, you'll get what you can get.
You can't prepare for every
exactly.
situation.
Yes, yes.
You have to be open to just let it happen.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I got the essence.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, anytime.
I'm very grateful that we can have those conversations and a completely different view. It was very interesting for me also to see what you can do from the religious organization, what they actually make like happen for people that you can study in Rome.
Learning. I'm so grateful for the chance, really, because
amazing.
It's funny, like, I don't know if I would have learned all this stuff about even myself if I hadn't gone. I mean, maybe yes, but maybe it would have taken longer because I don't know. New Zealand, we're so chill. Things move slower. I don't know. No, but it was, it was amazing. Really, really good.
Definitely also a part of self-discovery. Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
And I hope that everyone who is listening today is enjoying it as well. And might learn.
I hope it helps somehow.
Exactly. So thank you so much, everyone, and have a lovely day or night or morning whenever you listen to this.
Bye.
Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.